Welcome to the Amazing Grace Talk podcast. Conversations that explore how God has pursued those he has made in his image. My wife and host, Erica C. Meyer Williamson, is on a journey to meet everyday people who have experienced a radical encounter with the divine presence of unconditional love. These are the stories that remind us why God's grace is amazing.
Well, welcome back to another podcast of Amazing Grace Talk. My name is Erica C. Meyer Williamson, and today we have a personal friend of mine on the show talking about the prayer of Jabez. And his name is David Broussard. I've worked with David many years ago, and his story was just transforming to me when I heard what happened with him when he went from one career to the next, all because he prayed the prayer of Jabez. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Erica.
Thanks for being here today. Tell us a little bit first just about you and where you're from and things like that.
I'm from South Louisiana, one of eight kids. Grew up in a Catholic family. Left home when I was about 19, dropped out of college, got on the road with a band, and then ended up playing with several bands, played all over the country. And one of my favorite places to play was Dallas, so I ended up in 1975, I moved to Dallas. And while I was there, I started dating this lady who was a hairdresser, and she talked me in to go into beauty school.
Really?
Yeah. I would have never, ever dreamed of becoming a hairdresser.
You're anyway, a musician first, and then you went on to beauty school.
So. Yeah, I still played music. I never stopped playing.
Yeah.
And had a real good run in the hair business for 35 years. I remember in 84, I had a band called Refugee, and we were about 2-3 weeks away from signing with Epic Records, and I got radically born again, and I dropped out of the band, and boy, it just everybody was like,
I bet
are you crazy?
Just because you know Jesus now doesn't mean you can't go with Epic Records? What's the deal here?
Well, the thing is, I knew the direction my life was going, and I couldn't make a commitment to Christ and keep living the lifestyle I was in.
Wow.
Yeah. And hitting the big time in the music business, any success of trying to get out of the lifestyle that I was in would have been magnified. I would have just gone, I would have been on the highway to hell for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. And you recognize that. Now, how did that happen that you were radically changed by God? What was that encounter like?
Well, you want to hear a real funny story? The very first acknowledgement in my mind of, you know, it talks about I was blind and now I see.
Right.
It was a Saturday evening, and even though I wasn't living anything close to a Christian life because I wasn't a Christian.
Right.
But I still went to church. I went to Catholic church because I had to, out of my guilt.
Right.
I had to go to confession and confess all my sins. And anyway, I was sitting in church on a Saturday afternoon, all dressed up, slicked up. We're getting ready to play that night.
Yeah.
And I sit on the corner, and I look at a guy right across from me, really handsome guy, dark glasses and everything. And he was looking at me, and I nodded at him like, hey, how you doing? And he completely ignored me and looked back straight. And that just bugged me the whole service. I was like, who is this jerk?
You never heard one good word they said. You're like, he doesn't know me.
That's right. And then that's exactly right, because everybody in the church did know me. So anyway, when it came time to go to communion, this guy pulls out his little walking stick. He was blind as a bat.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was the first time this blind man ever had a thought of, you know, it pricked my conscience for the first time ever.
That is amazing.
Yeah, a blind man helped open my eyes.
I love that story. And it's so true when we think that, hey, don't you know me and this and that. And next thing you know, God's using that lesson to open our eyes.
Yeah.
That's great. Wow. So after that, then what was the next step?
When I left the music business, I remember praying to God. I said, if you want me to stand up and cut hair till I'm 85 years old, that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I gave my life to the Lord totally and left behind what I knew was going to wreck my life.
Right.
I walked away from it. I made that commitment, and I started sharing Christ with everybody, all of my clients, and a lot of people going, yeah, this is just another thing you're going to go through, because I had done it all. I had spent hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on astrological charts. I went in, I experimented with Zen Buddhism. I looked in Dianetics, you know what Dianetics
yeah,
is?
A little
Scientology,
bit.
Scientology, yeah. Introduction to science. I looked into everything. And finally, when I found Christ, man, I knew I had the goods. And anyway, I wanted to share that with everyone. I wanted to share that truth with everyone. And I led a lot of clients and other people's clients and even hairdressers to the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, even one that we worked with.
That's correct. Yeah.
You got to tell me a little bit about that story, and I know Christy, so I know exactly how that probably went with her strong-willed mind and don't tell me what to do. And yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, she
is. So that's awesome that you were able to share that with people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, when I met you, it was at a salon in Dallas, and I think it was soon after that I guess it was the prayer of Jabez or something in that prayer that you read about, what was it, about expanding your...
Yeah, expanding my territory.
Okay.
And I prayed, it was December of 99, about a month before Y2K.
Okay.
Everybody worried about the end of the world
shutting
and everything
down.
Else. I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I want you to give me a new gift for this new millennium coming up. And I said, I always ask for the wrong things, so I don't know. You know what you placed in me. You bring it out.
Wow.
You bring it out. But I wanted to accomplish three things. I wanted to glorify your name. Whatever you give me, I wanted to glorify your name in all the earth. That's expanding territory.
That's expanding, yeah, no matter what.
Second, that I had the same passion as I have when I play music.
Wow.
And I do. I enjoy it. And number three was that I could make a living. I could prosper doing it.
And those just came to your mind when you said, expand my territory. Those were the three things that just were planted.
That was in my heart. And that's what I said, that I wanted whatever gift he gave me, that's what I wanted that gift to accomplish. And then 6 months later, I hear about a welding course. And I've always wanted to learn how to weld. I wasn't trying to make this prayer happen, okay?
Yeah.
I took this welding course because it was the desire of my heart. I found out that it was on Monday, the day is off.
Day you're off work.
In the hair business. 1 day a week, 4 hours a day, 6 weeks, 24-hour course. The first thing I make was a piece of metal. I cut out three crosses. First thing I made was a cross.
Yeah.
Hung the cross in my hair salon the next morning, and my first client walked out with
it. She said, I love
that. I wasn't planning on that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hung another one, and it sold.
And it sold.
I started making more and more, but I'm just making kind of cute designs. I thought, hey, you know, I like the way this looks. You know, I got an eye for design and shape and everything.
Right.
When I sold about my 40th or 50th cross, Christy turned to me. Somebody's walking out, and Christy turned to me, and she said, you know, this is your answered prayer. And I literally asked her, I said, what are you talking about?
You'd forgotten.
I didn't forget. This happened so naturally.
Oh.
I just thought it was a part of life. I hadn't forgotten the prayer, but I didn't think this was it. I didn't even see it. She saw it. And I said, okay, Lord, if this is the gift you've given me, I'm asking you to give me some designs.
Okay.
Designs that will literally speak the truths of the word in the design. The design means something. I started getting downloads. You ever seen the movie The Matrix, how to get the downloads?
Yeah,
and bam,
just
they
started
can do
coming
it.
Just like that.
I started getting them, man. It was amazing, all the designs I got.
Did you write them down? Did you sketch them or what? Yeah. You just had them in
I
your
don't
head?
I made them.
You just made them.
Yeah, I don't sketch. People say, can you draw me out a design? I said, let me just make it.
Now, are some of those original designs the ones that you still have?
They're all original.
Like the one that I have. What do you call that cross?
The spiral cross.
The spiral cross.
Yeah, but that's my design.
No, it's your design.
Yeah.
But was that, what were some of your originals that you designed?
Yeah, that was first year.
That was original design, that one?
I designed that piece the first year.
My eyes are open wide because it's so, you would think it of being so advanced, but yet it was advanced because you asked God to give you designs.
Well, I got an advanced God.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That was, I didn't know that. I haven't thought of that either. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it wasn't just like a basic and all of a sudden you had some amazing designs right from the get-go.
He shows me. It's like I see it.
Yeah.
Just like Bezalel in the Old Testament, God gave him spirit in him to create. He didn't have a teacher. Well, he did. God.
He had God. But
God just dropped that spirit into him. He did that to me. I know it.
And that can happen.
Because the designs I have, I'm not smart enough to come up with that.
So how many designs did you have in the beginning that you, I know they're all original, but.
At least 20.
Okay. So how did you come up with the name for Jeweled Steel? How did that come up?
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
When I first moved to Dallas, I met this guy and his wife that had a lapidary shop. If you don't know what lapidary
is. I was going to say, I don't know if I know what that is.
Polishing stones.
Okay.
And you can take a stone. And I remember he showed me, he goes, "Hey, check this out." And he got a stone. And it was like just a rock you'd throw in the river. And he cut that rock in half. And I'm going, okay, I see a little design in it.
Dimension pretty. Or something.
Yeah. But then he puts it on a wheel and with different rouges gets, you know, the grit. Gets all the finer the grit, the deeper you can see into the stone, and it brings all the beauty out.
Okay,
you know, an uncut diamond's not really that pretty, but boy, and that's when you finish cutting it and polishing, that's where the beauty is inside of it.
Right,
kind of like us.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some people I know, well, just like me. I'm not the best looking guy in the block, but I'm beautiful inside.
David, you're so cute and handsome. Of course you are. He's like, "I'm not the best looking guy." Yeah.
That's what I do. I take a piece of steel, and it's just kind of ugly piece of gray, and I polish and I polish and I polish and I get the depth, and then I put designs in it like someone would cut a diamond or any rock to give it a mm-hmm. design. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not cutting the steel to give it a design. I'm polishing it, and I'm polishing the design ends. So I turn a piece of ugly steel into a jewel, something of value. That's how I came up with the
something of value.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that. So Christy told you this is your
new gift.
This is your new
answered
gift.
Prayer.
And then how long ago was that?
That was in 2000, and I started Jeweled Steel in 2001.
And now it's all over the world.
Yeah.
But it's all over the world because, what was that prayer?
Yeah, I asked for it.
You asked for it,
mm-hmm.
And then you received exactly, "God, I asked for it. I want to share this." What was it in your words? You want his word to go all over the world?
Yeah. Look, if Paul could pray for a handkerchief, and it touches people, and well, I do the same thing. I pray, "Lord, let your spirit rest in this piece wherever it goes." And I remember about, oh man, it's been maybe 15 years ago. I was doing the show at Canton first Monday.
Yeah.
And a lady, she and her husband had a vineyard in Australia, and she bought several of my pieces. Within a year, I probably had 30 clients in Australia and New Zealand.
Just from people gifting and sharing and wow. Well, your cross is hanging a lot of my friends' homes all over. There's one in South Dakota and that I know one in, I just sent one for a wedding gift up to Florida.
And I thank you for that.
You're welcome. But you know, it's so to me, because there's meaning behind each cross, I would much rather give something, especially because I know you and I know what's behind the cross. I've never asked you this, but I'm quite sure those crosses are prayed over.
They are.
I know.
Every time.
Yep. And I know that it's going to bring just joy and abundance and happiness through that prayer. I feel that.
I will say that, talking about all over the world, Church of England was looking for a cross for one of their schools. And they had a few people looking, and it took them 1 month to find me.
Wow.
But anyway, they found me, and I made one for them, about a 4 or 5 foot piece. And then they liked it so much, they ordered another one for another school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to hear, it was something you were telling me about praying for people when they saw what you were doing and saw what you had done with basically changing your career because God, you know, not because you just went out and said, hey, I'm going to create something with steel. It was directly from a prayer. And then people saw that in you and said, what is it? And how did you even do that? And then you praying over those people. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
When I do shows, I really concentrate on connecting with people. It's not about the sales.
Right.
It really isn't. It's about making a connection with people. And I've had a lot of people just remark, man, I wish God would give me a gift like that. And I always ask them, well, have you asked? Well, no, I haven't.
Yeah.
You have not because you ask not. You want to pray about it right now? Yeah.
I bet they're like, right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you just pray over
right then? Right smack in the middle of everybody.
And we're
not whispering either.
Yeah. We don't have to whisper the prayer and hide that prayer. So you're literally leading them, helping them, and guide them to some new possibility that God has for them that they never even knew how to ask.
And quite a few have written me and said, hey, remember, look what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I remember when I was in your studio in Dallas and something came up about Jabez because I had read that book, read the prayer. And when I started praying that prayer, things started changing. People started coming out of the woodwork to me, 2 and 3 people a week. And then, you know, just that I was speaking into about things that I had grown through. Mm-hmm. And when you told me that, I couldn't believe it. I was like, he prayed. Just kind of have that in common and to see how God works in that way was really incredible because that's really my whole, mostly, even with the retreats and everything, is helping people see and know how to ask and receive what else God has for you. You may do something well. And like I know, you were a great hairstylist. You're a great musician. But it's not so much people get hung up on, this is what I am. This is who I am.
Yeah, and what you do.
They don't understand.
Well, you have to know who you are in Christ. Because, you know, I mean, look, let's just get real. If I look at old pictures of myself in my rock and roll days and look at myself now, I could get depressed. But I don't because it's a new season in my life. Look, if he can create a different fingerprint and a flower, how many pollens, thousands and thousands of pollens are on a single flower, and yet there's no two alike in the world?
Yeah.
He's creative. He can give you something.
All right. Since we're talking about this prayer of Jabez, we're going to read a little bit about what the scripture actually says.
Okay. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from the evil one. And God granted his request. And I did see another version that said he didn't want to hurt. He didn't want to cause
may
pain.
Not cause pain, yeah. Right. And I think that may even be in Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Prayer of Jabez,
yeah,
because that was the little book that I read. And speaking of scriptures, it's 1 Chronicles 4:9-10, if you want to look it up.
You know, it talks about causing pain. When I was 8 years old, I was hooked on pornography.
Okay.
And I was hooked major. That's all I thought about. I mean, my mind, as a young boy, I was reading all these books and everything and wanting to see the world, and all of that was ripped out from under me. And I caused a lot of pain in a lot of people's lives.
Wow.
I have to say that probably more than anything, more ministry that I've done in the last 20 years, it's amazing. Guys will come up and I'll just say something. I'll just say something. And all of a sudden it's just like cracks that outer shell. And they'll go, wow, can I have your number? Could we talk? And I have a lot of men who have called me, and I still communicate with many of them and help set them free from that bondage, because that's a real painful thing, not just the one you're causing pain to, but living that lifestyle of just taking. It's from the pit of hell. There's no life in it. Feels good for a few moments, and it's over, and then you're full of guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you can't talk about it unless you're set free from it.
That's right.
And you can be set free from it. And if any of you listening right now want to talk about it, you can go to my website and contact me.
That's right. Yeah. And I'll put your information in the show notes as well for them to be able to contact you on that. Now, I have a question. The people that, the men that you were just telling me about, is it something that you said that they felt comfortable then to open up to you about
yep.
it? Okay.
So I always throw something
you
out.
You throw something out.
I'm fishing.
Yep.
I'm a fisherman.
Yeah. And then they just open up.
Yeah. And you see, they're passing by, so it's kind of like on the fly. I'm a
mm-hmm.
fly fisherman.
Mm-hmm. It's the spirit of discernment, you know, and how that happens.
Yeah.
How can you tell me how, if you at 8 years old, how long that went on, or if you don't mind telling, or how you broke free of that? Was it
I don't mind telling you. Well, you break free. Look, a lot of people think, okay, I'm a Christian now. Everything must change. I'm a new creation. Yes, you are a new creation, because your spirit man was dead, and now it's born again. Mm-hmm. And that will never be unborn again. But we still have this body. We still have this mind that has to be renewed by the washing of the water of the word. And I tell men, you know, it took me 50 years to completely be set free. And it's possible to go faster. Didn't for me. I mean, it wasn't like I was absolute. No, when I got born again, those chains were broken.
Yeah.
But still, every so often, I'd fall back into it. You know what? And you hear all these preachers, well, maybe not so much preachers, but people preaching grace, grace, grace. You can do anything you want. Grace, you're covered. No
yeah.
problem. Maybe you are, but your life is living hell. That's no good.
Yeah.
Who's going to want to follow your Jesus if you're not free? I mean, if he can't set you free, that's no power.
So true. That is so true.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine. I love that you just...
And that's why I can talk about it, because
yeah.
I'm free.
Because you're free.
Because if you're not free, you're so heaped with guilt and shame, you don't want nobody to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
No one.
Do you speak with men on a regular basis about it?
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
David, I'm so grateful that you took the time to be one of my first guests on the show. Your story, just in your walk with God, I always describe you to people as, when you talk to David, it's like talking to a prophet. And I don't really mean like saying the like a prophet. And I mean that because, with all my heart, because it's like you're real. It's like talking to Jesus, because you're all that. You're everything that you say you are. And I appreciate that. I'm grateful that I met you years ago. I don't even know how many years ago.
About 20.
But you've been an awesome mentor to me through these years. Even if it's been afar, I've been grateful to know you, and I'm so happy that you came today. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us today? I'll definitely put everything, all your information in the show notes and your website and everything, a way to get in contact with you. But was there anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, there's one more thing.
Okay.
I grew up going to church every Sunday, but I didn't know Christ. And you may, whoever's listening to this, may have been in church every time the doors were open, and you might have a real bitter taste in your mouth and you don't want to have anything to do with it. I would encourage you to take another look, get away from the religion, and really find out who Christ is yourself. Because I can guarantee you that if you will open the Word yourself, I'm not talking about listening to a preacher, although there are some great teachers out there you can learn a lot from. But if you'll open the Word and let the Holy Spirit teach you, if you really have a humble heart, and really are seeking the truth, God will speak to you. He'll find you.
So true.
It is so true. If you get turned off to religion, so am I.
And so am I.
I hate religion. Religion kills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's the secular world says religion kills. And it actually does. But a relationship with Christ Jesus doesn't kill. It gives life.
Gives life. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. All the rest is religion. Only Christ is a relationship.
So true. Thanks for sharing that part. Mm-hmm. That was perfect. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Please subscribe to the podcast, write a good review if you like, and share with your friends on social media. We'll see you next time on Amazing Grace Talk.